GB100 is always on New Year's, right?
Right, absolutely. That's the whole gimmick with that.
Yeah, that was my first GB GT, well, not GT race, but race night race, yep. Like 2 years ago. I was like, I just showed up.
Yeah, you showed up at the same time where Flipper Desert was like dying in front of us.
Yeah, totally remember that.
Yeah, and that was probably still one of the best Ferrari FXX races we've ever had.
Oh, yeah.
Until I screwed it up.
Yeah, I think we were running that for a solid, like, lot of laps, and it just went bad.
Welcome, everyone. I am Seg, and alongside Slowbird and GT Fan 712, we are Race Night. Slowbird, how's it going?
I'm not pooping.
He is not pooping. GT Fan, how are you, sir?
I am also not pooping.
That is, you know, if you guys were recording in the bathroom, I think we'd have a problem with this immediately. I think I would have a major issue with this immediately.
This podcast is not germ safe.
Yeah, I don't like germs in my podcast, in my audio. I would have to get some Lysol in there.
I don't really like poop in my podcast either.
No, it's...
You're listening to the Giant Poop Cast.
And already we've got the maturity of a 3-year-old. GT Fan.
Racing.
Yes. GT Fan, do you want to introduce yourself just for anybody who might not know who you are since you are new to our podcast?
I like BMWs.
He likes BMWs.
Yes.
Slipper, do you like Fords?
Yes, I do.
This is going to be awkward.
Like it wasn't before.
So that said, race night, it happened. It's a thing. Yesterday.
It did.
Slipper, where were you?
I was approximately 12 feet away from my Xbox when everyone else signed on an hour early and stole my spot.
Yes, they did.
Why don't you talk about that, GT Fan?
I was there. For, like, the first time in the last 7 weeks. So, I liked it.
Yeah, it was actually, it was kind of a nice, not to say leaving Slowbird out of it was a good thing, per se, but it was very nice to have a more land rush format than usual, where GBGT requires us to pick a specific 8 people every time for the lobby, because otherwise we're going to screw people out of the championship that don't need to be screwed.
Yes.
And once we're away from that, we can get back to just having fun and racing. Which is what we did.
Yeah.
I don't know if we had a race beforehand, but after one race or two, I think I started with F class and started working my way up all the way to R1, which ended up being okay other than Kevel has some broken-ass cars and he won everything.
Yeah, Kevel's Saab was way too fast.
What the fuck was up with that Saab, seriously?
What kind?
9-3.
Oh.
Yeah, the 9-3 Aero.
I don't know, man. My DLC Saab is pretty broken sometimes for a front-wheel drive car.
Yeah, it's a pretty good car, the 9.9 Turbo.
Yep.
Quite fun. I also like the mud flaps on it.
Bitchin' mud flaps.
Bitchin' mud flaps. But, yeah, so basically, I guess it started off my F-Class car. I used the broken-ass Volkswagen Golf for that with the Chie paint job on it from Persona 4. And it's broken as fuck. Then everywhere from then on, everybody else managed to have broken-ass cars at one point or another, whereas I floundered in third place for pretty much the entirety of the rest of race night.
Did you do any budget racing?
We did not, although I did use a budget car at one point, I think.
We should have a GBGT budget championship someday.
Maybe. I mean, we could just go back and have, like, a budget race at one point, because that's when really cool stuff came out of nowhere for some weeks.
Yes.
Having like 25K for C-Class is probably my favorite, just because I was able to spend $22,000 on a Mitsubishi GTO and run frickin' amok with it.
25K is not enough for a BMW. I don't know about this.
I had a BMW that was a budget car in C-Class, but it wasn't the best.
Maybe you're not the best driver.
It's just, you know, the BMW, if it's overpriced, then it's going to be hard to run it in budget racing. I just got to say that. You know, if it's expensive, pricey, you know, exotic car of some sort, or, you know, fancy car.
That old boxy one that GT Fan owns in real life is a budget car, though.
Oh, that's
true. The E36.
E36 is pretty good for that regard.
Yeah. Great car.
Yep.
Except in Forza.
Oh, yeah, and there's also something I gotta point out, that the broken, or what used to be broken, S-Class Viper 08 with all-wheel drive got its ass kicked at
By
Road
what?
America. Oh, geez, I don't even remember what was kicking my ass. It was,
Was that S-Class?
That was S-Class, yes. That was the Audi R8 LMS was beating the shit out of me, and then one other car was.
Wow.
Wasn't I up there with you? I was in the 458.
Yeah, it might have been that. You were
I think
pulling
we were
ahead
battling.
At some points, and then I kept getting past you at some points till I think I went around the carousel and drove off in the grass and ruined myself.
I've never tuned a good S-Class car.
I think you have to really specialize in either the tiny-ass tracks, which the Viper's pretty good at, or the... Or actually, no, it's not very good. You know what? I don't think the Viper's good at anything anymore.
Leaderboards.
Well, it's not even that. It's just, if Kevel can totally stomp my ass in R8 LMS, it's like the Viper's lost its purpose for me. So, I don't know. I think the Evora is going to turn out to be more of a substance car for me in S-Class.
How do you tune the Evora to get it up to S-Class? Because isn't it like B to start with?
It might be. I don't know. I actually got it as a gift from Turn 10. So.
Are you talking about the race version?
Yeah, the race version of the
Evora. Oh, there's a race version. All right.
Yeah, that starts as S, actually, I think.
And it is very nimble. Very, very nimble.
I might try the... I might scale my Lotus 7-Eleven or whatever it is down to that.
211?
Yeah, 7-Eleven, whatever. My Lotus gas station convenience store.
7-Eleven, Tony Kanaan sponsored. Oh, wait, we just got dropped last year. But actually, I would not recommend doing that. The 211, as soon as you start putting engine power into it, that thing starts going from a nice little go-kart to a ballistic motherfucker of
it's
death.
Already, well, mine's a ballistic R3 motherfucker.
Oh, well, in that case, yeah, you should totally drop it down, because what the fuck, man, seriously.
It's hilariously fun, though. It'd be good spec series.
Maybe, I don't know. I don't like boosting the 211 up too much. It gets to be a real pain in the ass as you start leaving A-Class.
It's, yeah, only because you're not racing against other people in the same car who are also struggling like crazy.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, that's sort of where you get the blessing of, like, V8 supercars.
Yeah.
Where you got a bunch of people in R3 cars they can barely control, and provided nobody's using traction control, it generally ends up well for them. And by well, I mean you can't touch the gas without dying. Okay, so, let's see, what else did happen during race night? Any comments about that from either of you?
I'm sorry I wrecked you.
Oh, you did wreck me, didn't
you? Yeah.
Yeah, you don't worry about it. Falcon was doing a much worse job to me.
I don't even know. I need to watch the replay of that just to figure out what happened, because I don't know. I was like, don't wreck him, don't wreck him. Oh, shit, we're spinning out.
Oh, yeah, the NASCAR race. That's right. Yeah, that was when... Yeah, I remember that now. You were pulling in on the inside to pass me on the final lap,
yeah.
Right? And I was already pretty much on the inside line, so you were going on to the...
Yeah,
inside.
I was.
So there's your problem for one. This is something I've learned since even the beginning early days of NASCAR racing, made by Papyrus and all that. You never go onto the apron to pass somebody, because you're always going to end up with a crash.
Well, I learned how to NASCAR race from NASCAR 2000 for the N64, and at Bristol you can totally go on the apron to pass people there, so I'm totally going to keep doing it.
Okay, see, what were we on? It's called a super speedway because it's 2.5 miles. Is Bristol 2.5 miles?
If you go five times around, it is.
You don't go on the apron.
It's just like a big Bristol, really. I thought all ovals were the same. NASCAR hate argument debunked.
God damn it. Okay, but yeah, you went on the inside of me, I think, and I was trying to hold the proper racing surface in the final few turns, and...
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you kind of turned in on me, because otherwise you would have gone into the pit lane on your own will, and our race was ruined.
Well, I couldn't really turn left any more than I was at that point.
Yeah, well, this is why you had to go on the outside to pass.
Well, I wouldn't have been able to pass you out there, and I would have got second.
Exactly.
So I'd rather go for broke.
You'd rather take somebody out and finish in last place.
I guess I should change back to a Kyle Busch pay scheme, huh?
Have at it, boys. Which, if we don't have much to say about race night, which apparently we don't.
Also, clunker pushing didn't go as well as...
Clunker pushing was fun for me.
Well, it's way more fun with four teams, I think.
It is. It's way more fun with four teams, but it's actually pretty close for the most part. And I think there was a lot... The fact that there was less people in there made for a lot less lag.
Yeah, it was going great until Falcon refused to brake properly.
Yeah, you know, I got some issues. I got some beef with Falcon after his last race night. He spun me out at least once or twice on purpose.
Really?
Trying to get past me, yeah. And I'm just going to say that because he's not here to defend
himself.
He's only
about five behind me then.
Yeah, well, yeah, pretty much. So we get to Sunset Peninsula. I think it was B-class at that point. And I was driving a Porsche 550, and he was driving some big-ass car. I basically rammed the shit out of him. Couldn't do anything to him because I'm driving a Porsche 550.
Well, that's your fault, isn't it?
Yeah, it is kind of my fault. So I spent the rest of the race knowing that I couldn't catch up to Kevel, or I think it was Jugnuts was the other one I couldn't catch up to. And I basically spent the whole time just driving in front of him, moving back and forth, taunting him.
We're going
to
call him Fuzzy Nuts now.
Fuzzy Nuts, yes.
Dirt 3.
We're going to talk about that here soon as well. We got to. We absolutely have
yes.
to. But NASCAR... I was reading a funny article. We should talk about this because...
Let's talk about it.
We watch NASCAR. Some of us do. I don't know if you do, GT fan.
No, I don't.
Okay, good for you. It's probably a good thing in this case. But by the same token, Slowbird and I watch NASCAR, and we both don't really care for it, even though we watch it.
I don't care for the people in charge of it.
I hate the people in charge of it, and by hate, I mean I want to see their offices spontaneously combust into flames... as a result of their actions and not because somebody actually hates them. So it's interesting that for the last year or two, they've instituted a policy trying to attract people back to NASCAR because people have not been into NASCAR as of recent, and they've been losing viewership and ticket sales. So they implement this thing they call Have At It Boys, which is basically, oh, well, we didn't enforce the rules way back when, and people used to fight all the time, and the viewers find that interesting. So let's let more of that happen. Well, apparently, recent actions between Kevin Harvick and Kyle Busch, rather than a situation where last year, say, Carl Edwards, when he was 250 laps down in a race, decides to take out a top five driver and nearly send him flying into the stands.
Only 250 laps down?
I think he was only 250 laps
That's
down.
That's like half the race.
It was a 300-lap race.
But anyway, yeah, he was... I'm just
yeah.
being dumb.
They have one situation like that where... a driver who's very far down in the race takes out a top five driver, and they don't bat an eye other than probation. Because, and their idea is, well, he didn't mean to hurt Brad Keselowski. It doesn't matter. He's 250 laps down. Brad Keselowski's a top five driver. You don't do that shit.
Yes.
But they say, have at it, boys. And we move
and
on.
And that's not the only time that he's done such a thing.
Oh, no, not at all. There was an issue at Gateway in the Nationwide
yeah,
series.
Yeah, that was bad.
Where basically then Father Keselowski had to say, he's trying to kill my son. And then NASCAR finally had to say, okay, look, maybe we've had enough of
yeah.
this. But they didn't really do anything then
no.
either. They just basically took Carl aside and said, look, man, you need to get off the steroids. I think it's affecting your driving. So fast forward to
this
year.
I think they
year.
Had to get the duck out of the car.
Yeah, they had to get the freaking duck away from him. But 2 weeks ago, we have an issue. It does not involve Carl Edwards, surprisingly. But it does involve Kyle Busch and Kevin Harvick.
Unsurprisingly.
Unsurprisingly, to be quite
honest.
Two
of the biggest jerks in racing.
Kyle Busch is like NASCAR's version of an Andretti, who drives really well, but nothing is ever his fault. And Kevin Harvick is like a version of Tony Stewart 5 years ago. So, naturally, this is a powder keg waiting to combust. When they get together.
Kevin Harvick once tried to do a wrestling move on Greg Buffel after a Busch race.
Did he really? I didn't hear about
it. It was like in 2001. He wasn't happy because he got turned or whatever, and he jumped over a car to land almost practically on Greg Buffel.
Yes, I remember this. That was quite good. That was pretty much a Stone Cold getting a Vince McMahon moment there.
Yep.
Which, on a side note, much respect to Macho Man Randy Savage, he will
a
be
A moment
missed.
Of silence, and then a big, oh yeah!
Ooh yeah!
Snap into a Slim Jim!
Yes, yeah, snap into a Slim Jim. Jig it! But getting back to NASCAR, which that kind of mixes in here, because NASCAR is about as much of a joke as pro wrestling when it comes to drama. We have an issue where Kyle Busch and Kevin Harvick get together. They decide to have a little bit of cat and mouse on the track trying to hunt down one another. And it ends with Kyle Busch pushing an unmanned car that used to be Kevin Harvick's ride. Now it's just a crumpled up piece of shit that's probably getting repaired at the shop.
It was already a crumpled up piece of shit. Oh.
Debatable, but understood.
It's a Chevy.
Oh, well, you know, Kyle Busch is driving a Toyota, that's even worse.
They deserve each other, if you ask me.
As long as it's American, that's all I care about. But anyways, so he pushes an unmanned car into the pit wall while people are walking around. That's dangerous, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, NASCAR's like, whoa, we have this whole have at it, boys policy, but I think we need to clarify what that means. And so Brian France, who has done a great job of driving NASCAR into the ground from the years of 2001, 2002 or so.
Yeah, picture like Richie Rich and then make him fatter.
Yes, that's pretty much it. And then instead of a situation where Richie Rich is just relying on his dad to make him more money, all of a sudden Richie Rich has control of the company. And he still just wants to do everything he did as a kid. And instead of being a witty comedic situation that creates comic books and shows, and occasionally movies starring Macaulay Culkin, it leads to fire and death and people leaving the stands. It's pretty sad when you think about it.
We can't confirm the death yet.
That's true. We cannot confirm the death, but it might happen. Yeah, anyways. So he starts coming on saying, hey, look, guys, I'm pretty sure that over the last 40 years of NASCAR, we've done a pretty good job of having a consistent record in which we clarify what constitutes what's okay and what's
actually
not okay.
What he said was more along the lines of, I think it's pretty clear that people know what to expect from us. And the unwritten joke after that is that we expect completely inconsistent rulings and basically no consistency from one day to the next.
Yeah, it's like, really, NASCAR, really? So, you're going to toss yellow flags whenever, and all of a sudden, I don't know, when Robbie Gordon's leading, you're going to toss a yellow flag on him to group up the field. And cautions for debris are going to come out of nowhere with no reason whatsoever, even if it's off the racing line.
Yeah.
And we're going to start having a have-at-a-boys policy, which we didn't have at one point because we actually penalized people for this bullshit. Really, guys?
That does happen. Also, we will penalize people way too many points for having an unimproved piece of metal on their car, even though it's identical to the one they're supposed to have, but just has a different serial number.
And here's the other great one. Let's let a guy who's our flagship product of the series, you might be named JL Jr., let's let him go below the yellow line and make what might be a passing maneuver, and let him get away with it. But if he curses on TV, let's fine him $25,000 and take him out of the championship race.
Yeah, and then if some other guy who we don't care about gets blocked below the yellow line, we'll penalize him even though there was supposed to be a rule about blocking people down there not being allowed.
Well, it's not blocking, it's pushing him down.
Yeah.
He was forced down, and he's not supposed to be able to complete the passing maneuver, I guess, even though that's exactly what Dale Jr. did in
and
that
situation. And then we will create a scenario where from now on everybody will never go below the yellow line again. They'll just wreck the person who's trying to force them down there so that they can go into the grandstands.
And that's how Carl Edwards had beef with Brad Keselowski.
Thanks, NASCAR.
Are we boring you yet, GT fans?
I don't know anything about NASCAR, so...
Just know it's a pile of shit, and IndyCar is far superior right now.
Indy's good, too?
Far?
IndyCar is good right now.
I wouldn't go so far as to say it's far superior.
It is superior right now.
Yeah.
And it isn't doing as much of the let's change the wings and add curves to make ourselves competitive like F1
right.
is.
But to be fair, Milka Duno was in the series, like, not that long ago.
Right, but that's not, by the same token, David Reagan is in NASCAR, so...
He's on the pole for the qualifying race to get into the All-Star race.
For the race to get into the All-Star
race.
That isn't saying much. Because you know where all the good drivers are in NASCAR? They're in the All-Star race right now.
Or they will get voted in by the fans.
I mean, the only people other than him that aren't in the race right now are probably Marcus Ambrose, Juan Pablo Montoya, and that's it.
There's like 5 or 10 drivers who haven't won in the past year, like Jeff Burton and...
Okay, Jeff Burton, I'll
there's,
give you
that. It's safe to say that Dale Earnhardt Jr. is not going to race his way in. There's enough of them to beat him, probably.
Dale Jr. is not going to race his way in anything.
No.
No.
I would say there's three good drivers in the who aren't qualified for the All-Star race, aside from Dale Jr. Oh, four. Brian Vickers, Jeff Burton, Martin Truex.
Whoa, don't include Brian Vickers in good drivers. He's the guy who has to crash people to win.
No, only that...
He has not won a single race where he has not crashed somebody
on purpose.
I don't
think that's true.
I think it's true. And there might be one exception, but otherwise, that's not true.
He has two NASCAR Cup wins.
He has two NASCAR Cup wins, and one of them was from taking somebody out.
Yeah, but the other one wasn't.
Okay, but that doesn't matter.
Anyway, all right. He's at least competitive, okay?
He's a good top 10 driver. Let's leave it at that.
Yeah, he's better than Mike Skinner.
Oh, yeah, it's easy to say anybody's better than Mike Skinner because Mike Skinner is... He's the person you see on the side of a milk carton right now because nobody's seen him in 10 years.
He out-qualified Dale Jr. for the showdown that qualifies you for the All-Star race.
Well, okay, so he appears out of nowhere. He's still not going to make it in.
No, he's 12th. Dale Jr. qualified 13th out of 27 drivers who have not won a race in recent years.
What I am getting at here is that there's an equal amount of mediocre drivers in NASCAR as there is in IndyCar right now.
Sure, sure.
So, you know, saying Melcaduna was in IndyCar for a while does not...
NASCAR has just as many mediocre or downright slow drivers and teams, but they do not have as many outright dangerous drivers who could harm someone by their incompetence rather than by aggressiveness.
Again, I would like to bring up David Ragan and how he crashes every race pretty much.
He's got like 3 top tens this year.
Yes, those are the 3 times he didn't crash.
Aw, come on.
I'm not going to give you this one because it's either him, it's either AJ Allmendinger. It's one of these guys who just, they run up front for maybe 2 or 3 laps and they crash.
I think you're thinking of...
AJ Allmendinger and David Ragan. You can't think
Steve
of anybody else.
Park.
Steve Park hasn't raced in NASCAR for a long time because he got his head knocked silly in an accident.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate because he was damn good.
Yeah, that's true. Whatever.
Yeah, let's talk about video games. How about that?
Video games.
There have been way too many minutes devoted to NASCAR by now. All the European people who listen to our Race Night podcast, hi, Sweep, how you doing? Okay, that's all
there is. Aw.
But, yeah, they're going to have tuned out by now as a result. But let's talk Race Night and that sort of thing. And speaking of people who aren't doing that well, we need to talk about getting a scrub league going.
Yeah, there would be one already if people would show up.
It's not so much people aren't showing up, it's that I've proposed the idea to everybody who is usually in the back of our pack and they don't want to talk about a schedule and that sort of thing. So I think I need to get the ball rolling on
that. Yeah, you just need to say, here's when it'll be, show up or else.
I tried that, though. I said, hey, we need to do this on Saturdays. Saturdays 8 to 10.
Oh.
And then somebody spoke up and said, oh, that doesn't jibe with my schedule.
I didn't see that. I thought you said it would be on Thursdays, but before regular race night.
Yeah, the problem is then I can't run it, and I'm worried they're not going to.
I offered to run it because I would totally penalize myself a bunch and then come up with crazy ideas that they wouldn't like for races, like weird vehicles at weird tracks.
Okay, so you're volunteering to run the race night schedule. I mean, the Scrub League race night, I should
say.
Yeah,
if we can get it going.
Okay, sure, then... Because I can't do Thursdays before the regular race night for a while.
Yeah.
I might have classes or just TNT and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I could do it. I could do it 8 to 10 and a half hour to get ready for regular race night.
Okay, tell you what. We have actually a PM circulating on Giant Bomb about that. I will get you in on that, and you can start planning a Scrub League race
awesome.
Night. So, that said, for anybody listening, if you're not too good at Forza and you want to join people who are just like you, we have a thing for you. It's called Scrub League Forza, and it's going to start taking place Thursday nights, 8 to 10, Eastern, Daylight, Savings Time.
Yeah, see if you can beat me with 50% of my horsepower missing.
There you go. See, that is the spirit of Scrub League Race Night. Take a good driver and make him poor, and then let the poor drivers run the show.
Also, we will run every race at New York so that I suck and crash.
You know, the problem
Everyone
is...
Everyone else will crash, too.
Yes, you're talking about scrubs here. You don't want to use the hard tracks like New York with chicanes.
We will run ovals once in a while also.
Yeah, sure. I actually also want to get my dad in on that, too. My dad hasn't had a chance to get into Forza over the last few days, but I think I could get him into a Thursday night thing if you guys were willing to let him in and deal with the fact he won't be using a microphone.
That's okay, as long as he can deal with the fact that we will be using microphones.
Yeah, I'm sure he can, and that you may be... He may ram a few of you because he doesn't tolerate early break.
Neither do I.
Okay, good. That makes two of you.
Nice.
Oh, good. We got that settled. I was hoping we could have a talk about it at some point, either during race night or during the podcast.
Excellent. And I have some other ideas.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
I like the sprint and feature thing we did last season.
Okay, so you're talking about more future Giant Bomb GT
ideas.
Yeah,
future ideas for that. I thought of another idea because sometimes we can't use a track for it because it doesn't have a pit lane or whatever. But maybe certain tracks have layouts with pit lanes and layouts without pit lanes. Like, I can only think of one. Catalunya has a school layout with no pit lane. I thought we could run the sprint race there and the feature race at the national circuit.
You know, I think that's a pretty good
idea. Yeah, that'd be pretty awesome.
I would not be against that because when we do the sprint races, and I always want to make sure that the sprint race is run with cosmetic damage because I don't believe that should be one where you're penalized for crashing as much as it would be in a feature race where you've got 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Take your time. Don't hurt people. When you've got only 5 minutes or so, you need to worry about that.
Well, you could do that on all the tracks, like put the sprint race on the shorter version and then put the feature on the big version.
Oh, yeah, even if it has a pit lane.
I mean, even then, I could actually make the sprint races a little longer then, like turn it into more of a 7 to 10-minute affair and then turn the feature race into a 20 to 25-minute affair.
Yeah, I like that.
Which is kind of what I wanted to do. I want to make people's hands numb.
Already there.
Ah, yes. Actually, it wasn't as bad as like the one time way back when where we ran the Miatathon, and I thought it was a good idea to run a 1-hour, 40-minute race around Twin Ring Motegi because I believe that track is a piece of shit hell that I had to deal with in GT4.
Yeah, but it was called something else.
No, it was called Twin Ring Motegi.
Well, Super Speedway was very similar, though.
It was the only difference, it might have been. But the difference was there, the endurance race was with the Yunos Roadster, which is just the Japanese name for the Miata.
Yeah. It's like a Miata without genitals or something.
I have no idea what you just said there.
That's a eunuch, I think.
Oh, a eunuch. You mean a person without genitals.
That's what I tried to say.
Yes, genitals. That's the word.
I think I said something resembling.
You didn't say anything resembling an English word.
Jelly beans.
That's an English word. I will accept
okay.
That. Okay. That's actually two English words.
Miata Roadsters without jelly beans. That's what
there
we're
we
going to do. But I think that another idea would be we could also, and it could even be done in conjunction with the previous idea, where rather than a sprint race and a feature race with the same cars, which we did kind of be inspired by the British touring cars, when we do the next idea, we could do like the Japanese Grand Touring, where they would have a slower class and a faster class. We could do like the sprint race could take place in like front-wheel drive spec Hondas or something, and then the feature race in whatever all-wheel drive car we pick.
Now, see, here's my problem with that immediately that comes to mind, is that I like the idea of getting us in different cars, but the point of a sprint race, in my opinion, is to get somebody used to a track or used to their car handling on a track.
Okay, yeah.
You can sort of do that even if you use a shorter version. You just take out a few of the turns and make those more of a mystery, but generally you get people used to the track in general.
Yeah, okay.
But when you put slower cars in, then give them faster cars, you have that adjustment period again.
Where, fair enough.
Somebody who jumps in from a front-wheel drive car to a rear-wheel drive car is more of a chance of spinning it out and taking out half the field.
Yeah, okay.
So, I would be against that. Well, Slowbird, let's get off this inside baseball topic, unless you have something else to talk about for suggesting for the next season GBGT.
Nope, nothing.
Okay, awesome. Let's move on to something that's coming out next week, and I think every one of us is getting it. I don't know about you, GT fan. Dirt 3.
Can I buy it twice?
I don't know. Are you going to give GT Fan a copy if he's not getting
it? I will be getting it eventually. Like Dirt 1 was the like first game I got for my 360, and I like that a lot more than Dirt 2. But I got Dirt 2 the day it came out, and Dirt 1 was a lot more rally simulation based compared to Dirt 2, which had a lot more like arcade kind of stuff. You could really toss the cars around a lot more. And plus, they took out like Hill Climb, which was in the first Dirt, which I haven't really looked into Dirt 3 that much. I'm hoping that they bring back the like Hill Climb and like real rally stages, because that was what made Dirt 1 like a great rally game, because they had specifically the Hill Climb. And then they had all the Hill Climb prototype cars. And like now, especially with all the different classes that run, like I know Reese Millen runs his rear-wheel drive Genesis that he just got like fastest lap, or he got the Hill Climb record with. But I'm just saying, like if Dirt 2 didn't have any of that and it felt like a completely different game, it felt like it was more of an arcade game about rally instead of being a simulation game.
I think they did make a mistake where they had the kind of hill climb cars, but they called it Trailblazer, and they had no, like, real... They didn't have Pikes Peak. They based it off of some, like, fictional tracks that didn't really have a lot of hills. It was just kind of a open class, no pace notes rally sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty unfortunate in that regard because I believe you're talking about the hill climb. You're talking about Pikes Peak hill climb as well alongside all that, which that is the pinnacle of hill climbing, and I think it had the full track.
It did.
It did. It didn't look completely right to me, but then again, nobody's ever done it where it looks completely
right.
They
also had big rigs.
Yes.
On the hill climb.
Are you kidding me? Shit, I am searching this up on Amazon right now. If they have a copy of it, I'm buying it with Dirt 3.
Yeah, the big rigs were awesome.
Yeah, that... Oh my god, that... See, here's the thing with Dirt 2, and I think I've mentioned this every previous podcast, but I just don't give a shit about Ken Block.
I think he's done a great thing by switching to Ford so that the Dirt 3 series game will have more Fords in it. That's about all I can say.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like he's doing a great thing for kind of like all of motorsports because nobody, like, you're bringing in a whole bunch of like teenagers, like getting into rally. Like, I personally caught on to his little Gymkhana game when he first started it up, and like, I liked Ken Block until I figured out that he, you know, can't drive very well in rally stages and really just does more of the Gymkhana stuff as a publicity stunt. But he's brought in a ton of people into the whole sport of rally and then also into motorsports in general.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I don't know.
Any publicity.
I'd much rather it be brought in with, you know, somebody who's driving courses rather than hooning about.
They won't bring it in, though.
I think the problem that they're having, too, with that sort of thing, and I've been thinking about this a little bit, is that the production quality for WRC, much less the exposure for it, is absolute shit these days.
Yeah.
And WRC has not done a good job of trying to get themselves exposure over the internet. They've posted some videos to YouTube and that sort of thing, but not enough to where people are going to say, this is awesome. This is the kind of shit I want to see more of.
Well, they had like a show on HD Theater where they showed off like random clips. I didn't really understand it because it didn't really cover the event very well, but I tried to watch it.
Well, that's the thing, is that it doesn't show the event well when they're doing that, and neither does YouTube clips. They need to put this together into a narrative where it's like, we're going to show off so many stages, we're going to have video of every stage.
They used to do that.
Make it available so that if I want to see, you know, said driver running a stage, give me that ability. You know, they need to do something to make themselves more technologically savvy.
Yeah, they don't even do the highlight shows like they used to on Speed Channel.
Well, Speed basically dropped them,
yeah,
and then they went to HD Theater, which almost nobody gets.
Yeah.
So
I don't want to shock you guys or anything, but I have breaking news.
What's that?
Tanner Faust won an actual European rallycross race with like an actual large number of legitimate competitors.
Well, he can drive.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. He combines the talent of, I don't know, someone not as good as Sebastian Loeb but close, with the douchiness of Ken Block. Best of both worlds.
I would agree with that.
Quick question for you while we're thinking about Dirt here. I am looking online. Amazon has terrible prices. Basically, everyone's just selling it normally. There's no fulfilled by Amazon Prime or within Amazon's actual warehouse.
No.
But EB Games is offering Dirt 1 for $20, and I don't think that's worth it.
Try eBay, as much as I hate to say it.
Yeah, that might not be worth it.
I'm not trying eBay, I'm sorry.
No.
I was hoping for like a $10 this
point. I would think that I wouldn't pay more than $10 for it, but if I hadn't played it before, I don't.
Yeah, I mean, if you hadn't played it before, obviously it'd be worth even less, but in this case,
I might pay $20 for it under certain circumstances.
Yeah, unfortunately, in this case, since I am going to be playing Dirt 3, and I do have Dirt 2 that I still need to work on the PC.
Yeah. Well,
I think
what about the PC version of Dirt 1?
You know, that's a good question. I'll have to look into that after this, because I think the reason I didn't use that is because I think it has some DRM in it, which I don't want on my computer. I'm a real stickler. I really am.
You can just burn that off with acid.
That's not at all how we talk about that sort of thing. But Dirt 3... So that was shown actually tonight during the Whiskey Media Happy
Hour.
So
good.
It looks really damn good.
Yeah.
And they actually did show off what appeared to be a bit of a rally stage,
Yeah. There was rally.
It was more in the vein of how rally was in Dirt 2, though.
I thought that the rallying in Dirt 2 was okay. There just wasn't enough of it.
I agree with that.
It looked like I believe I remember reading that there would be 50 or so percent more rally stages in Dirt 3.
That's essentially what I've heard, and I think PAX has backed that up and said that there's going to be significantly more rally, according to Codemasters. Yeah.
I hope there's significantly more rally and significantly less raid.
Yeah, raid was pretty bad.
Raid was horrible.
I understand putting trucks in, because core is a big thing, and that is a big part of off-road racing aside from rally.
Yeah.
But when you get into raid, there is no way you're going to do that any justice without creating a world like the one that was in Fuel, for example. And that's not dirt.
No.
You guys do know what I'm talking about with Fuel,
right? Open world.
Yeah, it was a very large open world, like 200 square miles or so.
Also Codemasters published.
Also Codemasters, not as good, very, very, what's the word I'm searching for?
Janky?
Bad.
Not janky, the word, you know, you try so hard and yet you fall short.
Linkin Park?
God damn it, Slubber.
I was waiting for that.
I guess gutsy is a good term that kind of gets there, but not entirely.
Experimental.
So, okay, Dirt is $10 on Steam.
Oh, that'll do it.
Yeah,
Steam does not have DRM.
Some Steam games do have DRM, actually. You have to be careful. They admit which ones do, though, so you can watch out. That's why I haven't gotten Fuel on Steam. I was planning on doing that when it was like $2. Huh. But it has Star Force on it.
How does that work without a disc?
I don't know. There's a way of... Star Force works... They have some sort of app or something that clinches on your computer and just hangs on for dear life. It doesn't appear to have any DRM here, though, so that's interesting. Yeah, so I guess the reason I haven't gotten it... Oh, I know why. It doesn't have achievements.
That's all the more reason to get it, because you won't have to whore yourself out for achievements and waste your time on stupid challenges that aren't
there was.
Yeah, that is a good point.
There was an achievement in Dirt 1 that was like, buy a certain number of liveries for a bunch of cars, which turned out to be more than the, like, earn $1 million achievement.
Yeah, I never did all those ones.
Dirt 1, the only game that I've S-ranked.
Dirt 2 is the only 1,000-point game I've S-ranked so far.
That's interesting. I have not, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to S-rank that for the PC, because I have had issues downloading Ghosts.
The hardest achievement in that game was, I think, drive 1,000 miles, which took a while, because you finish the entire campaign, you're not even close. Okay. So I ended up running, like, full Pike's Peak with a bunch of the, like, I pretty much memorized all of Pike's Peak in the, like, Pike's Peak prototype cars, and because that was the easiest way to rack up miles, because I think you get, like, 9-something, if I can remember correctly, but that was the only way to get that achievement, was to just burn through those. Only disappointing thing about Dirt Run was the online, because it had online.
It was just times, though.
It was like you got into a lobby, like the first time, my mind was like blown, because you got into a lobby, and so I'm expecting to race people, and then there's nobody else. It's like a rally stage, and there's no timing updates until the very end of the race.
Yeah.
Oh, so there wasn't even any checkpoints to tell you, hey, you're this far down the mountain, but you're 23rd out of 100 people.
That sounds like the worst.
There wasn't.
See, I would be okay with it. I would like it if it was like that, because running on your own, to me, sounds a lot like the multiplayer in Trackmania. You can see everybody else in that game, but it's not exactly a good thing in that case.
Okay, Jeff Gerstmann.
Well, no, really, Trackmania is a good damn game.
Maybe it is, but there's just too many versions of it for me to ever keep track of which one to have.
Either Trackmania Forever or Trackmania United.
See, that doesn't tell me.
There's only two versions out there right now, really, and they're both on Steam. One's free and one costs money. Wow. That's it. I mean, that's all you need. And I know the one that you buy doesn't have any DRM. I'm not sure about the free one. I think it's DRM-free on Steam, too. And it's awesome online, though. You can get in a lobby with, like, 256 other people, and you're not colliding with any of them. There's no collisions ever in
this must be different
Trackmania
from the one I played, then.
I mean, I guess there are a couple races where you can collide with people in Trackmania, but those are usually offline. The ones online are usually just time trials.
Oh. No, I played some old one where you raced against people, but it was, I don't even remember. It was just real weird, and it was fun, but there was not a lot of replayability. because I didn't know any people who played it.
See, the fun thing in the recent ones is that it's kind of done in Olympic style, where everybody is representing their country.
Oh, that does sound fun.
So you're trying to get not only into top three so your flag's represented, but whoever wins, their country's anthem plays.
Oh, that's cool.
And so everybody takes off the line, and there's 256 cars right there just fanning out.
Oh, jeez.
And, you know, they're not really going to collide with you or make any harm for you, but you can always see people just flooding out, and you can restart at any point if you need to restart your run. So it's basically 10 minutes, put your best run in.
So you're saying it's a hot lap challenge.
It is a hot lap challenge.
I'm buying it now.
It's a very intense one, usually. You should. It's a great game. I just don't run it anymore because it's crashed my computer several times and actually destroyed my motherboard
once. Oh, that sounds comforting.
Yeah, it's just a situation with me. Nobody else has had these issues that I know of.
Does that have, like, ghosts for the multiplayer? Do you just get time, like, the best time updates at checkpoints?
Oh, no, all the time. You see everybody's ghost at every point.
Okay.
I mean, you don't see their best lap, but as they're running him, you can see where they're running and that sort of thing.
Well, that's what I liked with Dirt 2's rally online, because you could see where everybody was at, kind of like Trailblazer, except you had the, like, co-driver callouts.
I do like that. Yeah, I do like the way they do that.
It was always fun because you could then see, you know, this guy splits off to this other side or tries using what appears to be a shortcut, and you can think, okay, maybe I should be using that in my next run.
Yeah.
Or if, you know, I'm behind too far when I'm too so far in this run, I'll just restart and I'm going to try jumping like they did, see if it gains me some time. So you do get some of that feedback.
And you could also watch people hit, like, a rock or a tree and fly across the track or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's always fun, quite honestly. That's a great thing when you have the first run in a race, because you have, like, 200 people take off and, you know, 5 people get hit in this hole. You know, a couple other people hit the wall and restart immediately. It just, it calms down. You feel real good and you're, you know, one of the few people left still doing a good run.
Oh, man.
And all the custom tracks they have, too, especially with custom soundtracks and viewpoints and all that crazy shit. It's a spectacular game.
Damn it. Now I have to investigate.
Yeah, you do have to investigate. Absolutely. And I think that's really what Dirt 1 would need in that situation, because when they talked about that multiplayer the first time through, it sounded really fascinating and amazing. Hey, we're going to put 100 people in a lobby automatically, give them a rally course to vote on, you know, a couple selections, and then they run rally, like it's actual rally. But if you're not given those updates at each checkpoint, what's the purpose? You need that feedback at some point to say, hey, I'm not doing so good here. I need to step my game up, or I'm blowing these people away. I can sort of, you know, focus on just doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And that's rally, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, in real life, you don't get the updates along the track.
They get time reports through their headphones, I think.
Yeah, they do, but that's, you know, just for people ahead of them.
Oh, right, well. But they're
whereas
running
for multiplayer and for a game, you should have the ability to sort of differentiate, you know? So hopefully Dirt 3 will have something to that extent, although I think it's probably going to be more like Dirt 2, where you have the people taking off at set intervals.
That there was the option for both in Dirt 2.
Oh, there was? Okay.
Dirt 2's online was all ghosting, and you all started at the same time. And then if you had, like, a private match, you could set up staggered starts.
Yeah. Well, that makes a lot more sense then, because I've only seen the staggered starts in the jam sessions or whatever they were called.
Yeah, the private jam sessions.
Yeah.
No, like the public ranked matches were doing it simultaneously with ghosts.
That's good.
Yeah. I just want to say that Drew has got me considering playing Dirt 3 from the cockpit with the HUD off.
I wouldn't do it with the HUD off personally, but I always liked playing Dirt and Dirt 2, Dirt 3 all from the cockpit. It just gave more of a nice evocative feeling of you are inside the car. And being that dirt racing is usually either alone or in a situation where you're always banging fenders anyways.
That is true.
It seems to be a situation where you don't need the mirrors as much. You can see where people are or sense them.
My problem with the cockpit view in racing games is that in real life, I'm in the car on the left side with, you know, the obvious being on one side of the car. But in a game, I want to feel like I'm in the middle of the car so I can judge both sides, both turns equally, you know? Like, in real...
Yeah, you have problems judging where the fenders are, so you worry about clipping.
No, I have
things.
A problem judging how much the car is rotating in the turns when I'm not in the direct middle of it for some reason.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Well, I play all racing games in cockpit, so it started with Dirt 1, because I think Dirt 1 kind of started the high-detail cockpit. Maybe not started it, but it definitely did a great job on consoles. But since then, I've been playing in car on almost all racing games.
That's good. That's does that include Forza 3,
that
by the way?
That does include Forza 3.
Do you have trouble seeing us in your mirrors?
Yes.
Fuck
that. That's why sometimes people are, like, if you don't tell me you're passing, you might get sideswiped.
Yeah, it's...
But that's the only problem. Like, you can, on certain cars, they'll have it where the seating position and the mirrors are positioned just right. I know, like, the 04 Subaru STI does a great job of, you get the right side mirror plus the rear view mirror is, like, perfectly in view, and you can see all you need to see. But on some cars, you, like, can't even see... you can't see the side mirror, and you can barely see anything out of the rear view mirror. And some cars don't even have a rear view mirror, like the Koenigsegg CCGT didn't even have anything.
Right.
So as long as they can put something like in view from where the camera's positioned in cockpit, it shouldn't be horrible.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you can get a mirror there, that's, for one thing, that's the reason why I don't run cockpit view. I just run the hood, because you get the virtual mirror,
yeah.
Then it makes it a lot easier to see where people are. And I think that's
exactly.
That's more considerate, and makes me think about my driving a bit more around people.
I also can't judge where my front end is from the cockpit view to be behind people.
I think that's something where they need to sort of make a bit of amends, because when in real life you can glance up real quickly and easily.
Yeah.
Without losing your focus so much with your eyes to see that, hey, I'm looking at my mirrors, there's somebody behind me. Whereas in a game, you have to physically move your head to be able to see the mirrors in some cases. And that would be just like it would be in real life, a bit distracting.
Well, I never really move the camera at all in cockpit mode unless I'm just screwing around and wanting to look out the side window.
See, I move the look around sometimes, even when people are beside me, because I want to make sure they're actually beside me or if I'm pulling ahead or
yeah,
not.
I do it even from the nose view.
I think it's very important, especially when you're racing very close to somebody, to have just a very good feel of your surroundings and know whether you're going to turn, if you're going to have to take an outside line, or if you can cut down and take the inside still.
Well, you can do that on a straightaway, but if you're like coming up to a corner, I've done this a lot where I've like looked over to see if somebody's pulling on me or if I have the room to like hit the apex without clipping their like front fender. I'll like look and then I'll let the camera go back and I'm in the grass because I missed the corner.
Yeah, that is.
Right, which
sad.
You know, that's not ideal in that situation. That's kind of why I like the virtual mirror, because I can judge with that, and usually I can judge by looking real quickly at the lineup and the roster, see how many feet away the next person is.
Geez.
And if they're within like 50 feet, I know that I pretty much have to watch where I'm driving in my line.
That's advanced shit,
inside.
Man.
Well, I mean, you have to be advanced like that eventually over time when racing.
I just try to drive my car in a way that will bounce them off the track and not me if we crash.
See, it comes to a point where you have to sort of eventually, when you get in this racing, learn how to give and take with the different lines. And well, you have to know how to race the outside in a situation like that. You have to know how to, you know, cut back to the inside. You have to be able to race every part of the track rather than somebody's by me, I bump them off.
No, it's not like that. It's more like I'm going to not necessarily give them enough room so that we don't hit, but I will try to make it so that one of us, you know, one of us can at least survive and the other one just slides a little and doesn't. I don't know. It's like how much can I get away with not giving them room and we still survive the contact?
Right.
Or maybe I don't think about it at all and just do whatever the car wants me to do because I'm out of control at all times.
I think the situation here is there, and this is kind of, I don't like normal racing sim communities. I've made that pretty clear in the past. But one thing I did learn when having to deal with them and race a multiplayer with them is just, it's best to start off as if you're racing vintage cars. You know, where you don't want to ding somebody.
Yeah.
And from there, you can sort of learn a respect, and then you can grow into more of an aggressiveness.
I think racing with damage on helps that a little.
A little, but the problem is, too, with Forza, and this is what we found out when we started racing with damage, is that you take the guys who don't know how to handle the track in the first place, and you just screw them over even more.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. And I really wish it wasn't that way, because I'd love to race with damage.
But then by doing that, the people who don't know, you know, how to handle the track, they can mess up the people who do know how to handle the track, and then nobody's having fun.
Well, that too. I mean, it's basically, you're taking the guys who are already struggling, and you're making them struggle even more. Mm-hmm. And you have to find that balance between how do I make it fun for them, And how do we still make it, you know, difficult for the guys in the front?
Yeah. I don't understand people who have fun running in the back anyway.
I mean, I used to have to be in that position quite a bit. I mean, back when I was playing a lot of Live for Speed, I was the guy where the only way I'd get up in the front was if I managed to weave my way around to turn one crash. And there were lots of turn one crashes.
When I played games where I wasn't running up front, I just went back to offline racing.
See, I think you have to learn at some point that it's okay if you're not running up front all the time. I mean, there has to be minor victories and just still pushing as hard as you can. And, you know, in some cases that means, you know, racing safely, but hoping that the guy in front of you has issues or makes a mistake.
There's nothing fun about racing in a, like, say, like, if you're in a public lobby in Forza and the two people in the front of you are just, like, a second a lap faster for some reason. That's not fun.
Well, it depends. I mean, if that still means I am ahead of five other people,
no,
that's
because I'm probably only ahead of three because it's a small lobby, you know, because the community is tapered off.
I mean, even then, if you're ahead of some people and you're not just completely getting clocked by everybody, I think there's still some fun in that. I mean, you're still not... I don't believe in win or nothing.
I'd settle for a competitive battle with a couple people, but usually there's, like, two people way, way ahead of me, and then everyone else is, like, off the road way, way behind me.
Right. I mean, I'd like competitiveness first, too, but usually those people who are way, way ahead of you are the people who spend all their time every day racing online or tuning their setups and that sort of thing.
Yeah, but I could spend all day and not get close to them still.
Yes, because they've not spent all day. They've spent all of 200 days.
I could spend forever and a day and never. They're just more skilled.
In some cases, yes, but in other cases, I think you'd be surprised.
Maybe.
I mean, this stuff takes practice over years.
I don't have years.
You will have years as you keep doing this over time, because I think one of the great things about racing games in general is once you get sort of a general skill set from practicing so much and racing so much, and mainly just racing so much, it'll start to apply to every game you pick up that has, you know, sort of realism to it. You can pick up the nuances that it has over any other game real quick, and then you just build on the skill you already have even more.
I'm not entirely sure if that's true for me.
I believe it wholeheartedly.
Except for Need for Speed Shift, because that game just sucks.
Well, yeah, but that's just a flawed-ass game. I mean, fucking hell, that game's terrible.
I guess I need a wheel, though, to be able to transfer my skills from game to game.
Maybe. I don't know. It depends.
Like, I can't transfer my Forza skills into Gran Turismo 5, for example.
It's that case, I think it's more how they handle the controller. Forza 3 is pretty forgiving in how it expects the user to use controller.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of games, GT5 included, will do the whole lock-to-lock thing, where pressing the joystick all left means you are moving the wheel all the way
left.
That
is the dumbest idea.
And vice versa.
That's the worst.
It is pretty bad, but that's what GT5 does.
I don't understand it, though, because sometimes in GT5 you'll be fine. Like, all I had to do is buy tires, and my Ford GT handles great, but any other rear-wheel drive car is a menace.
And that I have no idea because I haven't played GT5, and I guess they might have some adaptive steering stuff, but I don't know if that's steering assist or not.
They patched in an option to turn the steering sensitivity down, but I have it all the way down, and some cars, like the Lamborghini that's all-wheel drive and understeers like a pig in Forza, still undrivably loose in GT5.
Ah, it sucks.
Yeah. That game was made for a wheel, I'm pretty sure.
That's unfortunate. I mean, I guess it makes sense. GT4 was better with a wheel, but I still didn't care for it.
It was playable with a controller, though. GT5 is not really, I wouldn't call it entirely playable.
Yeah, it's... And then Forza 3 really compensates for somebody using a controller because the joystick doesn't always go lock to lock. It usually just goes to where it'd be most sensible for somebody steering left to stop.
Yeah.
Based on their speed.
And it has, you can adjust it too. You can turn the max, the dead zone and the outer dead zone on up a little bit.
On the controller?
In the controller options, and you hit X for advanced.
I've never done that. I've never seen that.
I have it set to use most of this joystick's range, but it does have a little bit of adjustability there.
See, I never knew this, and I've just been using whatever the default was.
Now you know.
You
will destroy us now from now on.
I don't think so. I'm far too used to the default as it is, and I like it.
You might, yeah. The only time you really would want to adjust it is maybe for R1s.
Yeah, maybe, but...
R1s if you're not going to a place with sharp turns.
Yeah, R1s, I'm still kind of used to them, too, and powering through and all the steering issues they have. Just takes being light on the stick.
That's what she said.
Yes, indeed. So, Dirt 3. I guess we're all getting it. I eventually got coerced into getting it. We got to set up a race night. We have to.
Yeah.
I'll be getting it.
You think that eventually, you said, right?
Yeah, I'll be getting it eventually, just like with Portal 2.
And thankfully you got that before it was spoiled for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, thankfully.
But with Dirt 3, at least you can't have it spoiled.
Spoiler, there's portals in that game.
Oh, no!
Ken Block drives a car. Hooning.
Ken Block drives a car through a portal into a helicopter.
And then takes control of the helicopter using, you know, the Just Cause 2 controls.
Yep.
And crashes it into a city for Colin!
Yeah.
Sorry.
And then he steals a Ford GT40 replica kit car because it's got a chip inside it.
What?
I think that's from Fast 5 or something.
I see what you did there.
Oh, okay. I have not seen
Fast
5.
Oh, gosh.
I didn't either, but I listened to a podcast about it.
See, Pax was telling me I needed to watch Fast 5 because it was awesome even at the get-go.
It is a great movie. I saw it twice.
It's like in the first 10 minutes he said a GT40 and a Di Tommaso Pantera.
Yeah,
and some car. I think it's a Corvette, but it sounds like it's got a V10 in it. The one they jump off the cliff in the commercial, all that's in like the opening heist scene. Spoilers.
It might be a modded, or not modded. Not saying modded.
I know that someone said what it was, but I don't think it was a Corvette, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I listened to a podcast with some sports guy and also Adam Carolla. They talked about the movie. I don't know why they did, but it's not a sports movie, but whatever.
Gotcha.
Made no sense, but it was funny.
Jeez. That's going to be an interesting movie. But Dirt 3, we need to... I think Sundays are probably going to end up being the time for that.
I can do Sundays.
I think it's going to take over our usual Hot Pursuit race night and whatever else we've had at this point. GTA 4 race night. All 2 weeks
How
of that.
How did that go, by the way?
Oh, yeah, that's right. You weren't there because you don't have it.
$20, man.
Yeah, I understand that feeling, considering I'm too cheap to buy Dirt 1.
And I think Dirt 1 is a far better game.
Debatable, but I agree. It was fun. It was interesting. There's a lot of griefing by killing in that game.
I can only imagine.
And the problem is that you only have one spawn point, really, in a lot of cases. That's not fun. You need to be able to spawn at different points around the city.
Yeah, you need to be able to pick where you want to spawn.
Exactly. And I think that'd be a great idea if you could just do that to catch up to people. I think any GTA 5 they make has to have that.
That's why I think that someone needs to make a car combat game based on real-life physics. Real cars, real driving physics, real gun physics. Real rocket physics.
I don't know about that just because I think that would make it really a pain in the ass once you actually got hit.
Yeah, that's the point.
I know, but it's fun when you're doing it to other people. When they're doing it to you, it sucks.
Well, okay. Hit. Rockets would be very limited.
Yeah, you can say stuff like that. To me, it just sounds like you're going more to the old days of full auto.
Interstate 82.
Yeah, maybe that too. Yeah. Anyway, gentlemen, I think we were going to plan out this stuff. Scrub League 4 is a race night. It's going to come up on Thursdays. Dirt 3 race night's going to start on Sundays, probably a bit earlier than 9 p.m., though, I think.
Yeah.
I think we need to start at, like, 7 p.m. Eastern. If people want to join late, whatever. But
yeah,
we need to be able to accommodate British people somehow.
Yeah, that sounds good.
That'd be midnight.
And we also need to try and do whatever we can to get Drew Scanlon to join us. I think we could coerce him into that. Unless he was somehow, when I was drunk and rambling at him at PAX East, he was just nodding his head and saying yes to placate me no matter what. He might have been, I will
He
admit.
Might not remember that.
I hope he doesn't. If he doesn't join us anyways, I'll have to hunt him down at PAX Prime and tell him what the hell.
Yeah, man, what the hell? Give him what's for.
This has been kind of an awkward race night podcast, I have to say.
Maybe I should be in race night next time, then.
Well, even then, you've just been suggesting improvements for next week, race
night. I've got an improvement. Next time, Slowbird should not be such a dick and wreck people.
I've got an idea. Slowbird, next time you should, or actually, how about this time, you introduce emails.
Emails.
Well, thank you, Slowbird. We do have an email from an anonymous sender. I don't have any email music, so I'm just going to go right into
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
That's not our email music. Don't say that, we get sued.
Ba-da-ba-ba.
Nope, nope, nope. She is asking about, what do we think about the idea of Red Dead Redemption? And what if it had pony races? And why doesn't it have pony races? I am paraphrasing this, but that's just because she told me not to read the email, and I did. What do you guys think of pony races now?
It depends on how clunky the horse riding mechanics are.
Well, furthermore, do you think it would have been interesting and more entertaining if, during the multiplayer, you had the ability to have horse races with other people, even if it made no sense?
Yes, and bet on them.
I don't want, like, a, you know, Kentucky Derby-type horse race. I want, like, point-to-point rally-type pony race, where you have guy at the start with a pistol. He shoots up in the air. Everybody takes off and maybe spooks a horse or two or a donkey or something like that.
Can we have legitimate, like, horse injuries in the race? Like, people bouncing off each other and spurs getting caught into other people's legs and shit?
I don't know if that's something they have in Red Dead Redemption, because I've never
played
it.
Well, they should have it.
They should.
I mean,
what it would be nice is if they actually had, like, a weapon version like GTA has for their Cannonball Runs or whatever they're called, GTA Race.
Oh, yeah.
Where you could just shoot another person's horse and kill it.
Yeah.
Except, you know, limit the bullets so you can't just
go
around and kill
you. You get one per race.
You give them 3 bullets per race.
But it takes a couple to kill one.
Yeah, exactly. So you'd, like, need to expend it on killing one person's horse or finishing off another person's
horse.
Yeah,
and you better not miss.
Yeah, I don't know. It's something like that would be interesting, I think, if not massively broken.
I feel like it'd be cool until somebody rolls up with one of the undead horses and dominates everybody.
Or one of the magic horses that is way faster because it has wings and shit.
They have one of those in Red Dead Redemption,
no,
really?
But they do in some other things.
You're not going to... Why did you even bring it up?
Because I knew that you wouldn't want me to.
God damn it. But I think that you could actually put restrictions on horses, like have an undead horse race or have a donkey race or something like that.
Pegasus race or a unicorn race.
God damn it, Silver. Why do you have to keep bringing... You're bringing My Little Pony into this. I know you are.
Yeah, that's what the people want.
It's not what the people want. There's one other person other than you that wants this, and...
And that's whatever. The email we're reading.
Yes. GiantBombForza@gmail.com is the address. Send us emails if you have any questions. Or you can just post them in the thread we're inevitably going to create over this.
Please
or just
post,
PM.
Please, somebody read and post and listen to this horrible abomination so we can feel like we're not wasting our time.
I know I'm not wasting my time. I'm enjoying every minute of this with you, Slowbird.
Well,
every single minute.
Thanks for having me on the show.
No problem. I'm glad you could join us. GT fan, I'm glad you could join us as well.
Well, thank you. It's been nice to be here.
So that said, for Slowbird,
releases
for
week.
GT fan, I am set.
For PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, and...
Okay, so do you have any final words? Just say it right now.
My Little Pony.
You were saying a lot more than that, interrupting me. Come on,
Dirt
say some
3
more.
Comes out this week, and it has more Fords in it than the last one, so you should buy 2 copies and try to get into both versions of the TNT.
Okay.
Are there BMWs in Dirt 3?
I doubt it.
There was a Z4M in Dirt 2.
You're right about that.
Okay, maybe then. I don't know.
It's very... Okay, they might carry that over, possibly.
If they carry it over, I'm down.
Okay. We'll let you know.
If they don't.
If they don't, I'll wait until I can get a used copy for like $35.
But the online community will be dead by then.
Mm-hmm. Well, who cares? We are the online community. Because we'll have race night, and we will do that stuff, and we will enjoy
it.
Oh,
I see.
Yeah, you see where I'm going with this, right? I'm saying screw the puppies, let's stick to Giant Bomb Dudes.
Good call, bro.
Good call, broski.
Yo, dude, you totally nailed that challenge.
And that will do it for We Are Race Night. For Slowbird, for GT Fan, I am Seg, and this has been We Are Race Night. We'll miss you, Poopkins.